This is not the first time that I have selected for this annual homecoming service those lovely words by Barbara Peskin, a prayer for those gathered in worship. Listen to the sounds, creaking chairs, sighs, breathing. See the faces gathered here. Know that each face, each glance, each sound carries a life within it. Carries a life within it. A life with tears and laughter, with pain and joy, with questions and wisdom. Listen, rejoice, and say amen. I love these words. For me, they express beautifully what the church is about, why we are here, because we have a life within us, a full life, behind a closed door but unlocked door, and we wish to be with others who too have a life within them. How does the saying go? Life's sorrows are softened and the victories are sweeter because we do them together, because we're not alone. For 5 years now, in almost every kind of weather, I have stood out on the sidewalk and greeted you on your way in. Handshakes and hugs and a few nods, a good morning, nice to meet you. Here's my confession. I know that you like it and that it makes you feel welcome, but I don't do it for you. I mean, not only for you. Mostly I do it for me. Because seeing your faces, hearing your voice, grasping your hand, it reminds me what worship is for. Some pastors pray before they start worship. They pray the words from Psalm 19, that these, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, will be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. Maybe some of you have heard that phrase before. My prayer is greeting you. I pray, may this hour of worship be helpful, a comfort, a lure toward a better life, an inspiration to the people whose faces and hands and lives I have just beheld not minutes ago. To you. Because for me, for us, Unitarian Universalists, the purpose of worship, the purpose of church is different. We're not here to correctly understand a particular doctrine. We're not here because we believe that God expects us to be here or that we have to be here in order to be saved and not literally left behind. We're not here that so we can enact the required ritual. We're here so that our lives and thus the world that we share together might be more beautiful, more just, more filled with love and hope and truth. We're here for us. Not in a selfish way, at least I certainly hope not, not so that we might become more wealthy and more privileged, but we're here for us that we might live according to our best hopes, the best wisdom of our living tradition and the prophets of all religion, and with the faith that if we do live in this way, not only our life, but other lives and the earth itself will be better for it. That's what this whole year is going to be about at this church. In a very intentional way, we will ask the question, how is it that we accomplish our mission? How is it that we will transform our world from inhumanity to love? We were talking about this at the board meeting, board retreat last Wednesday, and so how many people know our mission? To inspire people to transform our world. That's easy, right? That's what it is. How are we going to do that? What will we do when we make that journey in our own life, in our own world? And we'll spend time with 9 answers to that question. What will we do? Dream, fail, give, wait, question, honor, change, serve, come home. You don't have to learn them all now. We'll do a month on each one, dream, in September. All these words are answers to the question, how do we live our faith and live our mission? How do we do that? Because the church does not exist for its own sake. At least this church doesn't. We're not here just to be here. And we're not here for the sake of the holy, however we define the holy. The holy doesn't need us to come to church. The holy needs us, calls us, helps us to make the world better by making our own lives better. This is our covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek truth and freedom, and to serve human need. We say those words each week. They're adapted from James Villa Blake, whom Victoria Safford referred to in the first reading. We are bound by covenant, not by creed, not by ritual, not by church hierarchy, bound by covenant. Four centuries ago, our religious ancestors made covenant at the center of their religious life, the covenant to, as they put it then, walk together in the ways of God, known and unknown. They rejected the idea that the duty of the church was to obey the Pope or the King. They rejected the idea that the duty was to believe certain things. They said, no, we exist to walk together in the spiritual life, to comfort one another in our times of need, to challenge one another when we might get off track or complacent, to inspire one another to live our best lives, to learn from one another as we each bring our hearts and minds to the religious quest for truth and love and understanding. We still operate on this covenantal basis four centuries later. What the new members of the church did today when they joined this church is agree to be in covenant with us, to be in covenantal community, doing their part to live well and help the church thrive so that others may live well. And as all the members of this church are in such a covenant, that's what it means to be a member. What we do here today as a church in this annual homecoming service, at least what I want us to do, is to affirm and renew that covenant. To say, yes, we pledge to walk together in the ways of love, known and unknown. We pledge to support one another in our trials, to celebrate with one another in our joy, to share our time, our wealth, our spirit with one another, to work for justice, mercy, and truth in our lives. We pledge to risk our comfort for the sake of our conscience. We pledge to welcome the stranger with open arms and radical love. We pledge to lay aside our grudges, our disappointments, and our hurts because we know that we too are imperfect and because the spirit of forgiveness is what the spirit of love demands of us. This last point is important. Victoria Safford's point that the aspirations of covenant are beyond us, that though we pledge to dwell in peace each Sunday, by Monday or Tuesday afternoon, we have done something that was not as peaceful as it should have been. That we pledge to be helpful, but we aren't. That's so true. The aspirations of covenant are beyond us. We even fall down in the church itself, holding grudges, demanding our needs over the needs of others, thinking and living scarcity instead of generosity. Sometimes even we do that here, let alone in our lives outside these doors. And this is why forgiveness is part of the covenant. We forgive ourselves and each other, and we begin again in love. Though we've broken our vows 1,000 times, the Sufi poet Rumi wrote, we sing, come, come, whoever you are, wanderer, worshiper, lover of leaving, ours is no caravan of despair. You're still welcome, even if you've made mistakes or erred or goofed, hurt or been hurt, as if there is anyone ever who hasn't, you're still welcome. You pledge yourself to the covenant, you seek to walk in the ways of love, known and unknown, come, come, whoever you are. A covenantal community is not a perfect community. There is no perfect community. A covenantal community has standards of behavior, things which are not permitted and things which are expected, but it is a community that forgives, which reconciles, which tries as best as it can every day to live with and in the spirit of love. It's no coincidence that anytime the Bible talks about covenant, it talks about forgiveness too. Every time, whether it's Noah and the rainbow or Jeremiah the prophet. The passage that David read from Jeremiah is this well-known example. The old covenant depended on certain things being true, that the people lived in the land, that the temple stood, that the priestly order interpreted the rules, but those facts no longer held sway. The old covenant could no longer hold sway either. So Jeremiah says, there'll be a new covenant, and I, the Lord, will write it on your hearts. As Jesus of Nazareth would say some 600 years later, the kingdom of God is in you. But that naturally raises the question, if there's a new covenant, what about the old one? Isn't God mad at us for breaking the rules? And Jeremiah, if you've read Jeremiah, you know this. Throughout his prophecy, he says, yeah, God is pissed. Not, however, he says, because you didn't follow the sacred rites. It's because you mistreated the poor and the stranger. But Jeremiah says, for God, I forgive you. I forgive you so we can begin again as a people with a new understanding, a new covenant, one that we will sometimes fail to actualize, but one that will always call us to be more kind, more holy, more just. This is the only way that the spiritual life is possible. If we thought, well, I wanted to live well and live my values, but one time I screwed up, so I guess I'm not permitted anymore and I should just give up. Well, that would be an awful world because everybody would give up. A horrible life. We forgive ourselves and each other and begin again. This is the only way that community is possible. If every slight, every injury, every hurt was carried forever, this community and every community would collapse in anger and bitterness. We have to forgive and begin again for the sake of the mission, for the sake of the world, for the sake of our joy. When we recommit to the covenant, we begin again in love. There is a reason that New Year's observations work the way that they do. When the New Year, Rosh Hashanah, and the Day of Forgiveness, Yom Kippur, and the Jewish tradition, they come right next to each other. In our New Year's habit of writing down and burning your regrets before you make resolutions for the coming 12 months to let go and move on. Now we stand at the beginning of a new church year and a new school year. Truthfully, every day we stand at the beginning of a new life. In this homecoming worship service, I ask you to forgive yourself, each other, and recommit to the covenant to dwell in peace, to seek truth, to serve needs, to walk in the ways of love and be guided by reason, to be generous and open-hearted, dedicated and visionary. I ask you to do this because living in the covenant is worth it. It's good and worthy and beautiful and important. Isn't that, after all, why you're here? Because some part of you recognizes that living in the covenant, being part of a freely gathered covenantal community, is a blessing worthy of your time, your wealth, your hopes and dreams. We come together this Sunday to renew our covenant, but also to celebrate it. To celebrate it, to rejoice in our commitment to this wider, deeper, living faith, this faith that has the power to transform lives, to take risks, to stand on the side of love, whether it's today, here, 50 years ago, on the steps of the Capitol. This faith. To be glad in the friendships which are made and sustained here in this community. Friendships, connections, commitments, which often last our whole lives. The people who we can, when we need to, lean on, count on. The lives shared, the journey made richer, insights gained from each other. We celebrate our covenant. In a society where we are so often strictly segregated by age, here is a multi-generational community with infants and sages and everyone in between. in a society that treats the earth and treats human lives themselves as one more consumable product. Here is a community that affirms in word and deed the dignity and sacredness of every life and this world our home. In a world often frantic with distracting busyness, here is a place where we can be still and remember who we are, at least for a moment. In a too overconfident world of egoism where doubt is treated like a disease, here is a community where it is okay to say, "I don't know, it's a mystery." In a world where every song is auto-tuned, here is a community where we lift up our human, real voices in honest music together. In a world where too many are cast out because of how they look or where they were born or who they love, here is a community that draws the circle wider and welcomes all hungry, loving souls. In a world that stays shallow and trite and glossy, here is a covenanted community where we seek to go deeper, be honest, and be real. This is worthy of celebration. This is why we come and why the covenant matters, because it is the covenant renewed over and over again. Even though we are not perfect and we fail at it over and over again, it is the covenant renewed once more, lived out as best we can, striven for, reached for, dreamed of. It is the covenant that makes this community beautiful. It is the covenant that allows it to be powerful enough, real enough to answer the call of the mission to transform our world, to transform our own lives each and every day, over and over again, to transform us and the world from inhumanity into love. To let the covenant be written on your heart. Renew it despite all that's gone wrong. Renew it because of all that it promises to be. Live the covenant: peace, truth, service, reason, and love. Live it every day, every hour. Celebrate the covenant. Give thanks for people gathered in freedom and hope. Let the commitment to this covenant, to walk together in the ways of love, known and unknown, let this commitment, like the flame of our chalice, be a light in your life, a light in the darkness, a fire of commitment, calling you, calling us, always to more life, to more wonder, and to more faith. Let us sing together. 1028 in your teal hymnal.